Friends, and welcome back to your weekly Linux talk show. My name is Chris.
My name is Wes.
And my name is Brent.
Hello, gentlemen, and welcome to episode 600. Coming up on the show, we are indeed celebrating the big milestone. We have a little state of the show. We have a little show announcement to make. And we have multiple meetups going on all around the world. We'll check in with them. And then we'll top it off like a fine dessert with the launch of the FreeBSD Challenge. Somehow, in 600 episodes of this podcast, we have never managed to do a FreeBSD Challenge. So that's coming up and much more. So before we get into all of that, let's give a shout out to all the individuals that have joined us in the virtual lug today. Time appropriate greetings, Mumble Room. Hello, hello.
I think we're outnumbered today, boys.
Oh my goodness.
This was just peeking out. It's so crazy. Wow. That's great. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll be coming back and chatting with you in a moment. I want to say a big good morning to our friends over at Tailscale. Head over to tailscale.com/unplugged and get Tailscale for free on 100 devices and 3 accounts. It's the easiest way to connect devices and services to each other wherever they are. It's modern networking in just the best way possible because it's protected by
WildGuard.
Yep, I run it on all of my devices, literally all of my devices. I'm still able to get by on the free plan, but it just works so wonderfully that I've decided to expand my use into JB's infrastructure as well. It's fast, it's intuitive, it's programmable. It connects in with your existing authentication infrastructure if you have one for a business. It supports things like ACLs. There's lots of tooling around it, too, to move files and connect to systems. And you can use it to manage your SSH keys, so you don't actually have to copy SSH keys to every box. You can use your Tailscale credentials. And thousands of companies use it, like Hugging Face, Duolingo, and Instacart, and others. They love it. We love it. You're going to love it. Try it for free for up to 100 devices and 3 users while you're supporting the show. Head on over to tailscale.com/unplugged. And a big thank you to Tailscale for sponsoring the Unplugged program. So, we would normally at this point do housekeeping. But I thought we'd start, since it is 600, we don't usually talk about the show on the show. We'd just do a little state of the show. These are my rough thoughts. I was just kind of looking back. The show launched about 11 years and 5 months ago.
Oh my goodness.
That was several worlds ago.
It's been a long time. And I was looking like Frozen recently in the theaters. The first Frozen had come out.
I have a confession.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it.
Wow.
I know. I don't have kids.
Yeah. I've seen it enough for both of us.
Yeah, okay. All right. We'll do it tonight.
Russia had just granted temporary asylum to Edward Snowden.
Oh, right.
Wow.
When the show came out. I checked the price of Bitcoin when the show came out. It was $105 for one Bitcoin.
Not much has changed.
When I read our doc this morning, at this little part, I was like, oh, well, it was the same price. Oh, no. Wait.
No, it's 100,000 delta, yeah. Fedora 19 just shipped with GNOME 38. Or 3.8, sorry. 3.8.
Wow.
Little difference there. I just recently had a baby girl. Huh. My baby Bella. This is a different time. It's a long, long time ago. And it wasn't our first podcast, right? We've been podcasting before Linux Unplugged. But I was just looking back at that and thinking, wow, we are at a fork in the road that is like no other. The podcast, quote unquote, industry or community. I don't know what the right word is to describe it.
Yeah, that was still really early days before the podcast boom.
Before, and now we're post boom, really. And what we see is this big shift. And I was telling Brent before we got on the air, like, this last couple of weeks, I have had all these conversations with either advertisers or people that are in the process of building podcast hosting platforms. And the conversations have generally, they just assume that we're doing this podcast on YouTube with video, you know, like I did like a decade ago with the big microphones and the headphones.
Aren't we?
No. And then I have to tell them, no, we're just doing audio only. And oh, and I,
that podcast has classic.
That's lost us ad deals because of that.
That's crazy. Eh?
Because for them, it's like, it's not a podcast unless it's on YouTube.
Whoa.
And what I think is so ironic about that is, like, listen to Office Hours and whatnot. We have been so focused on Spotify and Apple influencing and centralizing podcasting that we just totally slept on YouTube. Meanwhile, they've been doing like a low-key move to just suck up as many podcasts as possible. And this, now in retrospect, is why they killed the Google Podcast app, to get people to move to YouTube.
Because before, I mean, a lot of podcasts were on YouTube, but it was sort of like a, well, people are on here, you know, this gets me a couple thousand extra views for folks that like don't listen to podcasts otherwise.
Right.
And it's been a big shift.
Yeah. Yeah. And I myself catch a pretty good handful of podcasts on YouTube now.
I would imagine Joe Rogan had a lot to do with that.
Oh my God. Listener, Jeff, producer Jeff, just to prove a point. When I started publishing on YouTube, it was 4x3. And then within a short period of time, they went to 16x9, but all my gear was 4x3. So I had to.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. We tried this. We've done this path. And then what we decided to do was focus on audio because we could do multi-track. So each one of us and the Mumble Room are on our own tracks. And if there's something weird with our audio, it can be independently cleaned up. But when you do video, you're editing a video show, and that's stereo generally. Not always, but generally. And it's a different kind of edit than an audio podcast. And we wanted to really focus on great audio. But the world, it's scary to me because the world is leaving shows like ours behind to a degree, at least for a while. I think these things tend to be cyclical, but I don't think this cycle's over. And I think over the next 100 episodes, I think specifically Linux podcasts and others that are hyper-local, hyper-niche podcasts, I think we're going to face kind of like the Linux Magazine effect, where you're going to see a fade of some of these independent creators because monetization is moving to YouTube and video ads. YouTube offers a built-in monetization path. Hosting costs, even for audio podcasts, but especially for video, keep rising. YouTube distributes for free. Most podcasters that are launching a podcast right now feel like they have to do video.
It's also where, I mean, right, like, if you think about wanting to become someone who makes content, what is the model for that?
YouTube. And if you go on YouTube, there's a path to monetization. An audio-only podcast, it's a bespoke custom path to monetization if you want to make it sustainable.
Or you're doing, you know, TikTok or Reels or Shorts or something that's even further from podcasting.
Right, right. And all of these centralize, you know, and YouTube, this is kind of funny. YouTube, as of last week, if you said COVID came from a lab, you would get your video demonetized. This week, you are now allowed to say, you can now say COVID came from a lab and your video will not get demonetized. Regardless of your opinion on it, it's an example of how the platform can impact speech. But beyond just like that direct example that actually just happened in the last few days, there's also just the incentives of a platform like TikTok, like YouTube. They incentivize a certain type of content that I don't think creates good dialogue around free software. And we've talked about this before, but I mention it because I think over the next 100 episodes, you're going to see a near total capture of the top 100, 300 podcasts to be on YouTube. And something that was once decentralized and independent by its default, distributed over RSS, is going to be published on YouTube. And I just ask you, the reason why I meant, picture your own industry that you work in right now, going through a seismic shift like this, that you think is making things worse, not better. But the momentum just seems unstoppable. You can't stop this trend, even though you think it's shitifying your line of work. It feels like a takeover almost. It's scary. And I don't think it's the end of podcasts or anything like that. I think there's totally going to be a path forward for audio podcasts. Video didn't kill the radio star. But I do think it's going to require tougher choices. And I do think it's going to require listeners to be aware of the situation and make active choices to support independent content and decentralized content, so we don't all end up swallowed up as a whole. But I also think like, we have to keep looking to the audience more so for guidance than ever. Maybe there is a point where we do pivot to video if that's what the audience wants. Because ultimately, we are trying to create something that you enjoy, right? Like, we don't want to just sit here talking into the wind. But we also want to create something we can be proud of that as a whole improves the dialogue for the Linux community. You know, this is a very powerful medium, podcasting. It's funny that's happening now, too, because podcasting has never really been more prevalent in the political dialogue and the news dialogue and the cultural dialogue in the presidential elections. Like, podcasts really had a role.
Yeah, but podcasts.
They're all on YouTube.
Yeah, people go on podcasts and then people talk about it on social media. That's kind of what happens, right?
I hope, you know, that the last 600 episodes essentially are viewed as a down payment on our commitment to keeping this independent, to keeping this as decentralized as possible. We're going to look to you, though, for guidance if you want us to change what we're doing or if, you know, you want us to stay on the path, because we're working with you together to create this content, and we want to try to improve the dialogue in the Linux community and get better and better at that. So we're 600 episodes in, and I just want to thank everyone for listening. It's been an incredible journey for us, and I just want to keep going, and really grateful for the support and the audience and the community that's built up around this. And so we're going to get to the meetup, speaking of community in a moment, but you wanted to say something.
I did want to say something. Like, this is us reflecting on the show, and I just wanted to say, Chris, thank you for doing the show for this long. Like, you dragged Wes and I into this whole crazy bandwagon you got going on here, and I think, like, that's, I can easily say that's changed my life in one of the most positive ways I've experienced. So
yeah,
cheers to you boys. Wouldn't be able to do without you. Come on, get it up there. Come on, get it up there. It's nice to have you in the studio. There we go. Come on there.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be great if we could do it in the studio every Sunday?
We'll get there.
Also want to say thanks to Drew. Like, he's such a big portion of why this podcast sounds so amazing.
I know, we wanted to have Drew here. I was going to say, we wanted to have Drew here today too.
And like, Drew's always here, but he's also never here because he's, you know, doing the editing as soon as the show happens, and he puts it out as fast as he can. And that's just, yeah, huge.
He's like an omnipresent meta spirit.
And we get to start slacking off and he goes to work.
So with that out of the way, and thank you everyone, let's talk about a new feature that's coming to the show. We'd like to try to have something for you for episode 600. And with episode 600, we are officially, we've been experimenting for a couple of weeks, we're officially rolling out transcripts with every episode of the Unplugged program. It's the first show in the JB lineup that has this workflow that we're building out around it. So it's kind of a build and learn. And our current implementation does have speaker diarization. So you'll know if it's me or Wes or Brent or the Mumble Room, for example, or a clip.
That does depend on your particular client having support for it.
Yes, not all clients support that. Again, if you have a podcasting 2.0 app, you're going to have a better chance of taking advantage of this stuff, but there are some 1.0 apps that will also read these transcripts. It's not perfect, right? Because it's, you know, it's like a, it's a whisper transcript or whatever. However, we are doing stem isolation. So each, again, the advantage of doing an audio podcast is we can individually process each track separately. So there's no crosstalk. It's when it's transcribing Brent's track, it's only Brent speaking. And so it should be a, and we're also doing it with FLAC audio right off of the editor, right off of Drew's editor. So it should be the best case scenario for the cleanest, best transcript. But the reality is we have terms we use on the show that we can't even get right
and that we make up.
Yeah, so it's, there are going to be certain words, you know, we don't need people telling us about every, we are reviewing them, we don't need everybody, but if there's some weird obvious issue, we'd like to know because we are still early in this. But things like if it calls Nick's NCI or NICKS or whatever, like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about that. Sorry, it doesn't know NIX.
Hey, Nick makes a great OS.
yeah, Nick OS. So we'll hopefully get it sorted out as we build it out, and then we'll build this into other shows, and we'd love to hear your feedback on it. And then ultimately, we'd love to have people help us integrate it into like the notes search or something like that, so it's also makes the show more accessible for finding things after the fact.
I got some questions.
Yeah.
So, well, first of all, this is amazing. We've been talking about this for so long. I'm super happy to see this coming out. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, the diarization was the bit that took. We wanted to have, for, and then, of course, we put all this work into it, and then it turns out only a handful of the clients support speaker detection, but we haven't.
Are we feeling as ambitious to do the back catalog?
I suppose if we built this in a way where we could apply it to other shows, eventually we could probably do that too. Right now, we're paying for the hours that run for the speech recognition, so we don't. That'd be hundreds of hours.
Yeah, yeah, I know. How many episodes?
But yeah, I think eventually we should.
It would be nice to know if people would like that, because maybe no one's ever going to listen to them, and it's not worth our time. But if you care, then please put your vote in.
I mean, in the world of large language models, it's probably always a good idea to have it. But
you know, yeah, and there's a lot of future room here. You know, now that we're going to add them to eventually have them more integrated and. All the things, or whoever wants to build stuff.
I mean, best case scenario, we would build this out to a point where we publish a transcript and then people could make an improvement, you know.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
And then they could submit it into us and we could essentially apply that improvement, you know, maybe like some workflow that could make it possible for the community to improve them if they want to or not. But we could accept those essentially patches, apply it to the main transcript and republish it, because they're just sitting, you know, as a JSON or VTT file on an endpoint. So you could replace them with the improved language pretty easily.
That's
and then they
idea.
Would just load again in the next client. So that is something we've been working on, and we have been testing it. So if you've been eagle-eyed out there, you may have noticed it pop up in a few episodes. And if you don't see it show up, probably a feed issue. The members that get the bootleg, they already get a transcript version. They've had that for a while. We got to figure out how to do it for the members' versions in particular, too. There's a different workflow there, too. So there's still some things we got to sort out.
Yeah, there's a reason we did LUP first.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, with that announcement, Brentley, we got a lot of people in that mumble room, and you got a list over there.
Goodness.
And do you want to maybe start with the different meetups that are happening right now as we record episode 600?
Yeah, this is amazing. I would say incredible, and a first time in Linux Unplugged history. We have meetups happening concurrently,
simultaneous
all over the world, which is so fun. So thank you everyone who's doing that. We do have some who have also been able to join us here in the Mumble Room. So I'm going to try my best to guide us through that. And if I missed anyone, well, I'll bring you in later. So first of all, Andy, we've got you there over in Croatia. You want to say hi?
Hello, I'm Andy from Croatia, and I'm enjoying the Linux Unplugged show.
Woo-hoo! Thanks for joining us. It's awesome.
Hello, Croatia. Hello, Andy. Nice to have you.
Now, our dear friend Byte, I know you have a crew of people. You're hanging out at Fosdem, which is happening at the exact same time as Linux Unplugged 600. Say hi.
Yes, hello, hello. And guys?
Oh, man. This is some of the same people who are part of the crew who were shaking the bus last time I was in Berlin. So thank you for that memorable experience. We also have a meetup in London. You guys want to say hi?
Hello, this is Jeevan here.
Hello, it sounds like more fun happening over
there. We thought we would have more people, but there's only three of us, unfortunately, but we're still having a blast. So
oh,
it's all
good. That's amazing. It, right? Just claim more people showed up and drink for all of them. Thank you guys for making it.
We've been talking Nix and Docker and Enterprise nonsense.
That's amazing. Kia Wajow, you're in Michigan.
That's correct. Lansing, Michigan, the capital city. We had people drive from Detroit and Flint area.
Nice. Hello. Hello. Thank you for being there.
Hey, we'll go next. This is Orlando checking in.
Next, we got Maddie. You're in Slovenia.
Yeah. Hi, guys. It's actually a group of us of two, hi. Matt and Luke from Slovenia, the chicken-shaped country in middle Europe.
Oh, sounds delicious. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
There's also a Midwest meetup happening in Minneapolis, if I can get my M places proper.
Well, hello. We're coming at you from an igloo on Lake Minnetonka. There's three of us out here, and we got some people from Iowa, too.
Oh, yeah!
Hello! Oh, my God.
There's also a crew in Oakland. Hi, Oakland.
Hey. Shout out from Oakland.
Hello, Oakland crew!
How many people do we have in Oakland?
We're four here. We're in a hacker space. It's a nonprofit. They let us use the space. We're surrounded by all kinds of gear from the 70s forward.
That sounds perfect.
That's great.
Nice. Of course, Chris, you'll have some sweet memories from this place. My favorite Toronto team.
Hello, Toronto. Team Toronto's muted at the moment. Maybe they had some mic problems. They're muted, but they're there. I can verify. Hello, Team Toronto. Thank you for being here. And then while Team Toronto fixes their mic, Tech Dev was en route. Tech Dev, where are you at?
We're in Massachusetts. We got four of us here.
Very nice. And was there a little bit of a story about this meetup in particular?
Oh, man. Okay. So this was so much fun. I am notoriously late, but I'm based out of Maine these days. I had a friend meet me at the border who's an officer who doesn't want to be named, but that friend then gave me an escort from the border between New Hampshire and Maine all the way to Worcester, Massachusetts. I got here just a couple of minutes before you guys pressed the record button and started the intro.
How do I get this escort? I want it. Because this now I have reason to believe this officer might be a listener as well.
That one I don't know. I know that this person knows of the show. I've set up a home assistant server for them and in their house and a workshop that they have. I don't know if they listen to the show, but they do listen to me when I complain about being super late for things and then give it.
Well, congratulations. I think you win the cake for the only meetup that has a police escort. Did we miss anyone in the mumble room there? Did we get all of the... we have a whole bunch of folks in there.
Well, we do have our dear Minimac.
Of course, Minimac has been working his tail off. Minimac, you're at a meetup of one right now, still, yeah?
Yeah, it's me, myself, and I. In fact, yeah.
But you do have a beer open, yeah?
I do indeed, and I have the whole community around me. I'm happy.
Well, can we just everyone say thank you to Minimac? He's been looking after the Mumble server for what, years and years? I don't even...
Round of applause for Minimac. He's been working his tail off this morning, particularly.
Team Toronto, round two.
Hey, there we go. Team Toronto's back. Team Toronto, how's it going over there?
A little rowdy.
So they're dead again. So no, thank you. I was thinking about... I know that I listened to the first Linux Unplugged show, and I know I was in the mumble room, but I was not the moderator at that time. And I started maybe a year later. When Rotten Corpse told me that I would be a good addiction, because with Europe and time zone and everything would be cool.
Yeah.
And so I started to be moderator. But right, it reminds me, you remember when I once killed the on-air room? I deleted the on-air room. That was right at the beginning. Yeah. That was like, yeah, my first baptism, like, and then I deleted that on-air room. Man. But no problems since then. In fact,
it's been pretty
smooth. Even though we had to reboot today.
Now, Brent, we have other meetups actually going on too. They're just not in the mumble room.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, did I miss any meetups in the mumble room, or does anyone else in the mumble room want to say hi before I move on to the others?
Can I say I'm sorry for Minimac that I caused trouble today?
May have been a server crash issue. That's fine. It's fine.
Hey, this is El Rey. I was going to say thanks for being an awesome show, guys.
Well, thank you for everything you do. And thank you for making it, man. It's nice to have you here this morning.
Very nice.
This morning, this afternoon, whatever it is.
Yeah, Ray was a key contributor on the website itself. Taught me a heck of a lot of things in trying to help the community build something awesome, which is totally happening. So thank you to the website crew as well. Now, we do have other meetups, believe it or not. So there were 14 meetups in total, at least listed on our events page that we threw up. And some of the other meetups happening right now, they're little listening parties. There's one in New York City. I mentioned the one in London. We have one in Minnesota. There's another happening in Walla Walla, one of my favorite Washingtonian places, and another in Atlanta, Georgia. But there is one that I missed. We are throwing our very own meetup.
Oh, that's right. In
a few hours. Did you forget about that one?
I guess I did. Yeah, we have a party to get to after this.
Yeah, and so I'm sure we will have a crew of people to hang out with.
Well, thank you, everybody, for making it. Now, this is episode 600 is also going to be special because this will be the episode that we kick off the FreeBSD challenge, which I cannot believe in retrospect. I wasn't really open to the idea, but, now having reviewed it, I can't believe we haven't done
it. It only took me 500 episodes to convince you.
Before we get into that, we kind of have a special snail mail.
We do have snail mail. I did have a thought before our snail mail. If any of these meetups you guys want us to build a matrix room, for the meetup. I know that often gets the crew to do meetups without us. Keep doing them. Please reach out to me personally and help make that happen. But yeah, snail mail of all things. If you send us snail mail, we will definitely get a giant grin on our face. And this one in particular is, I don't know, I don't even have words for how great this is. So this one is, has a giant, how would you describe this? It's a giant rocket. It's a photograph of a rocket that looks like it's in a futuristic kind of...
I thought it was like one of those like makerspaces you go to over there in Berlin.
So I haven't
been to this specifically. It's a postcard.
It is a postcard, yes. So let me read what it says here. Dear JB team, sending my greetings from the Chaos Communication Congress in Hamburg, Germany. The picture is a few years old, but it conveys the vibe perfectly. Cheers from Gilgwath. And it even has a rocket postage stamp.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Really, really super sweet. Nice, I think touch. This might end up on the studio fridge.
Thank it's you. Going on the fridge. Thank you for the postcard. And thank you, everybody. Now, let's get into the rest of the show. 1Password.com/unplugged. That's the number 1Password.com/unplugged. And it's all lowercase. If you will, for a moment, imagine your company's security is like the quad of a college campus. We've all seen this before. There's those nice, happy brick paths between the buildings. You can consider that to be the company-owned devices, IT-approved apps, and managed employee identities. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's serene. And then there's those paths people actually use. The shortcuts between the official paths, the ones that have been worn through the grass, those are generally the straightest line between point A to point B, and people just naturally gravitate towards those. Consider those to be unmanaged devices, shadow IT apps, non-employee identities, even things like contractors. The reality is most security tools only work on those happy brick paths. But the security problems, they take place on the shortcuts. 1Password Extended Access Management is the first security tool that brings all of these unmanaged devices, apps, and identities under your control. It ensures that every user credential is strong and protected, every device is known and healthy, and every app is visible. 1Password Extended Access Management solves the problems the traditional IAMs and MDMs just can't touch. It's security for the way people actually work today. And the great news is it's generally available to companies with Okta, Microsoft Entra, and it's in beta for Google Workspace customers. Now, we all know 1Password makes great password management software. And a good password manager is the night and day difference between basic security hygiene. Well, 1Password's award-winning password manager is now combined with extended access management. And they regularly undergo third-party audits. They have the industry's largest bug bounty. They just exceeded all these standards. So go secure every device, every app, and every identity, even the unmanaged ones. Go to 1Password.com/unplugged. That's all lowercase. The number 1Password.com/unplugged. 1Password.com/unplugged.
Well, because it's episode 600, we decided to just do things in a different order. Why not? Shake it up. And we wanted to do this specifically to get your advice, which we solicited for how in the world are we going to do this free BSD challenge. And so we're going to look at the boost first.
And now it is time for Le Boost.
Yes, indeed, because lots of these are about the FreeBSD challenge. And our baller booster this week for episode 600, the only episode 600 there ever will be, is The Dude Abides with 700,000. Wait, 770,000. Am I getting that?
Oh my God.
With 770,000 sets. Hey, rich lobster. That right there is a showmaker. Thank you, The Dude. Appreciate that. He says, I had to spend 2 hours yesterday debugging what happened to my Albi Hub. It turns out it was down and I hadn't boosted in a while, and my funds got transferred to on-chain. So I had to open up some new channels to get all things going again. But thankfully, I got it up in time for the 600th episode. Hopefully, I got the math right. Now, what I love about this is the work he put into getting his own self-hosted boosting infrastructure up and going for the 600th episode. Like, that is dedication. Only this show's audience, literally only this show's audience in the world would do that, right? Like,
let me stand up a bunch of new infrastructure so I can spend money.
So incredible. So incredible. So I don't know if he was going for particular math, but
I think 600,000, but then maybe some of these extra boosts kind of tallied up.
I see. Okay. All right. Oops. I see. There you go. Oh, 600 for the 60. Yeah. Wow. Thank you again. Thank you. That is really, that is really generous. Really appreciate that.
Okay. So speaking of folks who've been working on setting up Albi Hubs, McLang boosted in, but we had another issue with missing metadata. So we're going to investigate that, see about it might be a upstream LSP issue. The sats made it, just not the message, but you know, manual back channel. So we got 327,170 sats. Hey, Rich Lobster!
Awesome. Let's hear it, good buddy.
Again from a self-hosted setup?
Yeah.
Oh my God, amazing.
Now, that was going to be a more reasonable 65K, but, you know, five test boosts, not sure if it's working, means McLang has super generous.
Happy 600, he says, in the boost. Thank you, McLang. Really appreciate that.
Now, Vamex sent us two boosts, and they're both quite special. One of them here, 100,000 sats.
I hoard that which your kind covets.
Just pump the brakes right there.
Vamex, that's amazing. Thank you.
So Vamax first boost here. Cheers to 600 for shower thoughts. I recommend a memory trick I learned from my pastor.
Oh.
Here it goes. Whenever you have a thought you want to remember, set that thought as an object in a picture. When you have another, add it to that picture in a way that makes sense. Then, when you can record things, walk through the picture and write them down. For example, when I was listening, driving home, and needed to remember what to boost, I pictured the podcast index text box with a brain in it. And then for my thoughts on spring tuxies, I added a big plus on top of the brain. The more ridiculous the picture, the better.
Hmm. I like that. It seems like a variant of the Mind Palace sort of technique.
I have a cheap, like, I got to remember something and I cannot, like, I can't write it down or something. And that cheap trick is I'll screw something up in the environment. Like, you know, put a cup upside down or put something on my keyboard. So that way when I see it, I'm like, why the hell did I? Oh, right. And that's one of my quick go-to tricks. Well, but I like
that
this
explains
a lot
about the studio.
Now, that's a good trick, though.
Vamax did send in a second boost here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Satoshi.
Oh, you know what that is.
So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
So it looks like this is actually the boost they were trying to remember. Spring plus tuxies? That's the stupidest combination I've ever heard in my life.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I've actually been, I did rethink it later. I'm like, that sounds like a pain in the butt. I don't really want to do that. That's what I thought. Thank you for the boost. Appreciate it. Nostromo comes in with 100,000 sats.
I hoard that which your kind covet.
Boy, they are doing a lot with Mayo these days.
600 times the penguins call brought a lot of fun to one and all.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait, what did he call us?
Well, we are kind of penguins. That's usually what I generate when I generate a picture. It's we're penguins in there, you know? I love it.
You've been doing what?
By the way. Thank you, Nostro. Always nice to hear from you.
KR Hill 94 comes in with 50,000 sats.
Right.
Coming in hot with the boost.
Oh, volunteering to try FreeBSD on a Raspberry Pi.
Uh-huh. Noted. Okay. See, what do you guys think about? I was thinking about trying it on the Pi 400, not as my main system, but.
Yeah, at least one of us should. I think that's a good idea. Okay.
I'm down to try it on the Pi 400. And sounds like KR is as well. Very good. Very, very good. Sorry.
Well, Jade Snake came in with 40,000 sats across four boosts.
Tough little ship. Little.
Chris, I've been listening since the early Lunduke days, been a member for many years, but have been mostly an asynchronous listener.
Well, nice to hear from you.
Well, let's hear it, good buddy.
Recently, upon reflection, it struck me that hundreds of podcasts and media personalities have come and gone over the years. But you've been the central pillar of all my listening, not just podcasts, for over 15 years. So thank you.
Wow, thank you. That's incredible.
I hereby nominate Chris Lass for Linux King, or at least Prime Minister.
That makes sense, guys.
You're doing a good job.
That makes a lot of sense. That's great. Thank you very much. Is that Sam Squanch? Is that who that is?
That's Sam Squanch.
Ah, thank you, Sam Squanch. Nice to hear from you. Otterbrain comes in with a row of McDucks, 22,222 sats.
Things are looking up for old McDuck.
You guys are the best. Thanks for being the cure for my Sunday scaries. Like, because you got to go to work the next day. Congratulations on 600 shows. Looking forward to 600 more. Yeah, buddy.
Oh, bring it.
Thank you.
With the support, we will.
Tomato comes in with 22,222 sats.
This old duck still got it.
Congrats on 600.
Thank you, Tomato.
I'm excited for you lads to do a FreeBSD challenge.
All right.
I'll actually happily join in. I run NetBSD on some of my servers, but haven't given Free a try in a while. I was also glad to hear Chris made the connection with NixOS. I mean, as someone who's been using Linux and BSD since the 90s, the central point of configuration was a nice, familiar feature of Nix.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have organized a local meetup for 600, but family things come first. Cheers.
Understand, Tomato. Maybe for 700. Maybe for 700.
Jasco boosted in 20,000 sats.
Coming in hot with the boost.
Happy episode 600, guys. Thank you for all of the hard work over the years building this amazing community.
Well, thank you for the boost.
Regarding Linux phones, I'm more excited about the Comet than anything crowdsourced. The Librem 5 did leave a bad taste in my mouth.
Fair.
I recently solved my mobile Linux fix with an OnePlus 6 running Postmarket OS and have been loving it. I built a folding keyboard case around it and have been using it as a handheld laptop.
Okay. Brett, maybe this is your backup hatch,
this
right?
This sounds actually pretty sick.
This is your escape hatch if Graphene OS doesn't work out for some reason.
If I can do a little self-promo, people can find my 3D files, build instructions, and photos at jasco.website/step.
That's Jasco, JASCO.website/step.
I still carry an iPhone as a backup device, but have barely been using it.
Mm. Postmarket OS and a case that's also a keyboard. That's sounds like a pretty interesting idea. Combo on a OnePlus 6.
You know what I just pulled out? In Canada, we used to call it the HTC Dream, but it was the old Droid phone, the very first one that had the flip-out keyboard, the first Android phone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was amazing.
It was pretty great.
I had it like tucked away in a drawer, and PJ mentioned it, and I pulled it out of the drawer, and I like just held it in my hands like, they knew how to make phones back then.
I think I've kind of peaked on how good I'm going to get at touchscreen keyboards on a phone. I'm not horrible at it, but I'm not physical keyboard at it. You know, like I'm fast at a physical keyboard.
Yep.
In fact, with the Fudo keyboard, I pretty much almost always just use voice dictation if I'm doing anything more than a sentence.
Well, you're still waiting on that Neuralink, right?
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Only I'd like it to be open source, not owned by Elon, and not creepy. Distro Stew comes in with 5,002 sats. Hey, all. Missed you the second boost on episode 598 about the Nix article. Oh, right, right. Are you at the Oakland party? Is he there?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm here.
All right. Hello, Distro Stew. Thank you for the boost, buddy. Appreciate you. Nice to hear from you.
Well, Shy Fox comes in with the Road Ducks. To automatically set my time zones in NixOS, I use services.automatic-timezoned.
There you go, Brent. So this is for you and your traveling.
Yeah, I clearly have things to learn. They say, has worked flawlessly while I...
Gallivant on business trips.
On business trips. Wait a second. Those two things seem like they don't match up.
Hey, man, make the best of it.
I love it. Great advice. Thank you. And the second boost here says, I probably should have added my comment was in reference to a pre-show that Brent mentioned about time zones, and I sure did.
Yeah, get your automatic
time zones figured out. Actually, my computer is telling me the wrong time right now.
I know, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. All right, so going back now to Distro Stew.
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for discussing my post, Nix Death by a Thousand Cuts. I like how this conversation has been coming up more these days and all the friendly responses I've gotten, including from multiple C-suite folks in the Nix world. That's nice to hear.
Oh, good.
Clearly, y'all have drank the Nix Kool-Aid. Yep. As have I. This is why I use Nix everywhere. But this article was very focused on desktop use. Nix is great on the server, but are you guys using Nix all day, every day on the desktop? For my work, I regularly git pull and compile open source projects from many languages. I think the story for server production use is different, and I should highlight that fact more. I get the sense that maybe Wes uses it daily and perhaps is your local Flake guru who likes to dig deep on solutions and share them across your systems. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
This is really better as a conversation, and I'm working on a follow-up blog post, so I won't rebut each point here, But I will agree with you that comparing Nix to traditional Linux is really comparing apples to oranges. They are different beasts and really provide different features. Anyway, great show and thanks for the discussion. See you in March. Here's hoping Pasadena is still standing. Word on the street is the convention center is being used as an evacuation shelter these days.
Everything we've heard from folks involved is that things are still on schedule and planning to go forward.
The skating rink is still there too, right?
I'm sure.
And we'll have some updates, I guess, in the pretty soon future on our plans.
Did you want to respond to the desktop? I had a thought on the desktop thing.
Oh, you go first.
You know, this is not a great analogy, and this is something I'd love to have feedback on to refine. But to me, it's like asking, are you going to daily drive that car that has an automatic starter? Or are you going to, because, you know, the crank engine, they're better cars. You know, the one over, yeah, you got to crank it, but it's a better car. Like, to me, what Nix is finally what developers have always had. And what a developer, the feeling of, I put my instructions into the machine and the machine is manipulated and does what I tell it to do and produces the result I want. And we've gotten that in the mechanical world to a pretty fine point. But in the software world, there is this nebulous, it works factor. And a lot of times it's a bit of a black box. And what Nix does is you program the operating system level now. It's not as complicated as programming, but it essentially is this. And you are programming a computer and you are getting the exact results from that computer that you want. And anything less than that is this vague black box that is storing a state for you. And so to me, it's not a question of different distributions do it differently. To me, this is a complete shift in technology. We're going from a totally manual something that doesn't work well for everybody to something that is completely programmable. So now the operating system is programmable and the applications are programmable. And there's no coming back from that, because this is how it should have always worked. The computer should have always been given instructions and then done exactly what we tell them to do. It's always should have been this way. We didn't do it. We took a different path. And so once you make that kind of switch in thinking, there's really no going back, I think. It doesn't make the other stuff less valuable. It's just done differently. And, you know, I that's why, yeah, of course, I use it as a daily driver. Of course I do.
I do think Stu's onto something here. You know, regularly Git pulling and compile open source projects from many languages. I do think, and maybe we didn't do as good of a job articulating this as I'd like in the episode, I think as a DevOps sysadmin developer desktop, that might be one area where it's kind of the hardest if you're not also like a Nix developer to meet the expectations that you have from a different Linux distribution or a Mac.
To that point, I think that's why it's never going to be 100% solution, because there's always going to be that legacy, because we've done it the other way for so long. There's no going back. But, you know, for the stuff I run.
Okay, Distro Stew here. Can you hear me?
I was just going to say that using Puppet is a lot like, or using NixOS is a lot like using Puppet or Ansible to the extreme.
Yeah. Turn it up to the max, right? Down to the individual, like, system D level.
And without some of the, you know, some of the same escape hatches don't quite work.
Well, I'd like to add, too, that my experience has been almost exclusively on the desktop. It's only until quite recently that I've started using it on the server. And I've come to love it because of its simplicity. And maybe that sounds crazy, because I think maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but it has made my managing my desktop so much simpler. And to the point where I have an expectation of what will be on my desktop, and it's always that, and it doesn't deviate from that. And I can predict what's going to be there and remove and add things actually quite easily.
It was really nice when I resurrected an old machine that had been sitting around for months and it just updated it and got right back to use. I mean, it cross releases. Anyways, moving on, I'll take this next one. It's from Gene Bean. Speaking of Gene Bean, 4,011 sats.
Oh my God, this drawer is filled with Fruit Loops.
He's been setting up his own self-hosted setups too, which has been really great to see. And it sounds like he's using NixOS on Hetzner. And he's got Tailscale loaded up in there too. He says, regarding the shower aha moments, I use a voice assistant to remind me in about an hour. That is one of the nice things about using the stock OS, is reminders and things like that. That's the number one thing I miss. The number one thing is being able to bark at the machine and set a reminder. One day.
Yeah, and I was hearing a bit from Gene about this setup, and yeah, it seems like it's working well, and it's a nice setup I think many folks could copy. And Gene took an interesting approach with Nginx. We were doing, I think, NF tables, but for setting up a similar setup. That
you have a VPS front end on Hetzner is what he's got, and then a actual, like, Lightning node on his LAN.
Which is, works especially well if you have to, you want a full Bitcoin node and stuff. That can have some disk requirements and various other things. So,
yeah.
Neat. Thanks for sharing, Gene. Marcel Boussin with 5,000 sats.
You're so boost!
Congrats on 600. I just got a notice that my Pixel 5 is no longer receiving security updates and I should replace it immediately. I hate throwing out stuff that works, though. My laptop is 10 years old and my mom is still happily using the one that I had before that. Why can't Android be more like Linux? I'd definitely be interested in a Linux phone. I also hate that everything has to be a stupid app these days. If I could do all my sensitive stuff like banking on my computer, I wouldn't really have to worry so much if I just stuck with the Pixel 5. Old man yells at cloud, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is where post-market can kind of step in, right, to a degree for some of these things. But so many things are app-based and require all the Google crap. And it is a bad situation. It's only slightly better on iOS, but an iPhone 7 or whatever is probably getting rolled off right now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, Sire boosted in a total of 3,000 sats. If you guys are moving forward with this challenge, I will do gaming benchmarks, Arch versus FreeBSD, and I will boost those results.
Whoa, all right. Okay. Putting that down. That's great.
Also, thank you again for all the amazing content that you put out through the years. I should have boosted sooner. It was so easy.
Oh, good. I'm glad it wasn't too hard. Thank you for setting it up.
They say here, by the way, postcode boost, except it's J3B2Echo2. Y'all going to need Brent to pronounce it. Please don't let me down, Brent.
Oh, my.
Yes, zip code is a better deal.
Is it like St. Louis Le Haha or something?
But let's find out.
Is this maybe a perplexity question? Let's be real. maybe this is a little beyond the map.
Right. Well, I'll send it to Brent here. I've got my initial
Gananoque or something.
Well, here I put you. I gave you a Slack if you want.
Oh, I'll just look over your shoulder. It's fine.
He's in studio. You can just look over your shoulder. Oh my God. Okay. Now, while you guys,
it's in Quebec.
Oh.
It's a Saint Jean sur Richelieu.
Oh. So, good that, fishing up there in Quebec.
You know, I was thinking of Quebec the other day, but I'll tell you that story later.
Well, I hear it's good fishing up there. I hear he's a good guy. Thanks for boosting in. Appreciate that. That was fun. Open Source Accountant is back.
B-O-O-S-T.
And he says, for shower thoughts, I use something I learned about while building roads and bridges in the Seattle area.
What?
Waterproof paper and a Ticonderoga pencil. Tied to it. Nothing between me and the documenting my thoughts while I'm in the shower. Still working on the diving solution, though. Open Source Accountant, email me, chris@jupiterbroadcasting.com. I got questions for you, and I don't know. I got to do taxes. Maybe you and I should connect up. I think you could, maybe be a good accountant. I got complaints with my current accountant. Let me know.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, nice to hear from you, too.
In a similar vein, John Spriggs in our Matrix chat suggested grease pencils on ceramic walls.
You see, I should have went that direction instead of that permanent marker I was using.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Because now you got to keep getting new showers.
Yeah, it's annoying. You got to retile the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Neural P comes in with 6,000 sats. Happy 600. Here's to more BSD.
Thank you.
We're going to have to change the name of the show.
BSD Unplugged.
Gentoo Netiquette came in with 5,000 sats.
You're so boost!
A BSD boost? I have my free BSD 6.2 install CDs in my hand as this goes out. Good luck and try not to go to BSD jail.
You make me want to be a better man.
Thank you. Thank you. Rotted Moods here with 10,000 sats.
The traitors love the vol.
And all he says is live long and prosper.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nav comes in with 3,333 sats. No message, just the sats.
Thank you very much.
But 412 Linux boosted in with 8,000 sats.
This is a tasty burger.
Congrats on 600. Thanks for putting in all the seen and unseen effort to make this show every week. I've listened to at least 500 of these episodes.
Wow.
Each week, it feels like hanging out with good friends.
Thank you.
Be proud of what you've accomplished. Well done.
Thanks.
Aw.
I feel the Broadcom acquisition, they go on, of VMware has had a similar seismic change in many aspects of IT infrastructure.
Yeah.
One difference is that the change has opened up conversations regarding open software.
And it seems to be opening the door for Proxmox. This has been great for Proxmox, which is good to see. Thank you, 412, something we don't talk much about, so I'm glad you got a chance to get that in there. It's nice to hear from you.
DexSword sent in 4,321 sats.
Because I'm the winner!
Happy 600, boys, and happy Sunday. Looking forward to 600 more. Cheers.
Well, thank you, Dex. Good to hear from you. Cybet's here with 10,000 sats.
Well, I'll be dipped.
Happy 600 episodes.
Sam H comes in with a Robodux.
I hate building PCs.
Happy 600 from the Atlanta meetup.
Hey, Atlanta meetup, thank you.
And Soul Reaper follows that up with 6,666 sats. Hello from the Oakland CA meetup.
Hello, Oakland! That's great. That's hilarious. And User88 is here with 9,001 sats.
It's over 9,000!
Shout out from the Oakland crew.
Nice.
Gretton comes in with 5,000 sats.
You're so boost.
Cheers from ATL BitLab.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, we got this guy here, PJ producer Jeff. 6,666 sats.
I have 8 different bosses right now.
Simba says, woo, 600.
Woo, thank you, PJ. LRay741, I'll say the whole thing. LRay741's here with 9,001 sats.
It's over 9,000!
Oh, super happy to briefly speak to y'all on the Mumble. Congrats on 600. I look forward to continuing to supporting your originality and love you all.
Oh.
Including Drew.
Aw, heck yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for being so awesome. I'll keep listening to the members feed. Uh-oh, now he's going to hear me miss. Oh. Oh, no! Thank you. Very nice. Appreciate you very much. Thank you, everybody, who boosted into episode 600. That is all of the boosts above the 2,000 sat cutoff, but we keep all of them in there. Appreciate you. And also a shout-out to our sat streamers. 34 of you stream sats as you listened to our last episode, and collectively, you helped us stack 58,490 sats just by streaming them as you listened, and we really appreciate you. Then when you combine that with our boosters this week, which we had 30 total, we stacked a grand total of 1,304,157,000 sats, whatever it is. 1.3 million.
It really should be 1.6 because that doesn't include the manual McLang because I didn't get to that. So even better.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's really great. Thank you. What a fantastic way to celebrate 600 episodes. And like I said earlier in the show, episode 600 is our down payment on just getting started. We have 600 more to do, and we just want to make it better than ever. And it's your support between the booths and the memberships that have kept us going. And really, thank you, everyone. A big round of applause to everybody who supports the show, either monetarily or through their time or through networking. We really do appreciate it. This round of applause is for you. If you'd like to boost in, you can do it with Fountain and Strike to get the sats. Those we generally have linked in the show notes. You can go to bitcoinwell.com/Jupiter if you want to buy some sats and send them directly to your self-hosted wallet. Or there's lots of links at podcastapps.com. Lots of ways to do it. All right, now it's time to talk about the FreeBSD challenge. So I tried to collect all the booster feedback there. It sounds like KR is willing to try it on a Pi, and I'm going to do that too. Sire's going to benchmark Arch versus FreeBSD and boost on the results. Tomato is going to join us as well on the free side. And Blumenstrong emailed us about NixBSD.
What?
Which is an unofficial NixOS fork with a FreeBSD kernel. So I think this is where we have to start. Do we allow this or do we disqualify this?
So the question is, what is considered FreeBSD?
Yeah, I think if you only did this, it wouldn't count, but it could be bonus points on top.
Okay.
Right?
I could go
like
for
you
that.
Should give like straight FreeBSD a go in some version or something more close to it.
Okay. So I have a couple of things to try. We have 2 points and 5 point categories. And I think this could be a 5 point category. So I'll put it in the 5 point category. All right. So turns out that the FreeBSD wiki has a speedrun page.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and it's not something that seems like super popular, but it's a thing people do.
Wait, this is a race?
No, but they do have some like guidelines that I reviewed to help kind of structure the rules for this particular challenge, because our hope is the audience will participate along with us, boost in or join the mumble room and tell us how it's going. So here's a couple of the rules. You boys are welcome to object because these are not firm yet. We're going to lock them in after we've reviewed them. So number one, your BSD install must be manual and unscripted. In other words, you ran through the installer. You didn't use like somebody else's thing to install it for you.
Well, that gets me thinking, like, are we specifically doing FreeBSD or just the BSDs?
The BSD.
Because some of them automate this, right?
I think on the table right now, we're GhostBSD and FreeBSD. But I think FreeBSD should be, has to be looked at.
Okay.
Because we're looking at some of the recent innovations in FreeBSD.
All right.
They've done some nice stuff. So you got to do a regular install. You can't do like some script that auto-installs it for you or anything like that. Hardware can be virtual or bare metal.
Okay.
I think bare metal we'll probably all try, but for the audience, I think we should totally allow virtual machines. That's allowed. It runs for 2 weeks. So it starts today. We do a check-in in 601 and a conclusion in 602. So people can kind of tell us what's working, what's not working. We can see the direction things are going. Know if we need to make any amendments next episode. But I think we should come up with, if you bail from the challenge, there's a punishment. Like you have to do something. And I think we need, okay, you already have an idea?
Well, no, I'm thinking like what's considered bailing?
Like if you can't get it working.
Okay. But what if like you get it working and then you just don't really boot into it for the rest of the time?
Here's the thing. So you have to stack a few points. So you get 2 points if you get it installed and get it on the internet. Both, not just for 2 points to get it installed and on the internet.
Wait, this feels like a hint of how hard this might be. Listen. Oh, no.
You get 2 points if you record audio from a working desktop session. So we could play a clip of you saying, hey, guys, this is so-and-so. I'm on my FreeBSD desktop. I recorded this in Audacity. And then you make that a FLAC, and you send it into the show somehow. It'll send us a link or something. You do it. We do it. We all see if we can get recorded audio from a FreeBSD desktop. You get 2 points for that. If you can get one server, quote, or like service, like an application that's accessible via the LAN, that's 2 points. Okay, so those are the 2 point categories. Install it and get it online, record audio of yourself from a working desktop, get something like a server or an application that's accessible via the LAN. That gets you, each one of those will get you 2 points. Then we have the 5 point category. Now, for 5 points, if you can get an app running inside Podman or Jails, if you install and get a working firewall, if you can get Tailscale working on BSD, you can get 5 points for each one of these. And if you try out two other BSDs or like two combos of BSDs, like a NetBSD and a FreeBSD or GhostBSD and FreeBSD, and another set of 5 points if you try out NixBSD. We'll publish these in the show notes as markdown. There'll be a list in the show notes. So everybody can go to linuxunplug.com/600, see these categories. Does all of this seem pretty agreeable and follow up? I wanted a couple of measurable things.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go too far that everybody couldn't participate. And I think we'll still get some good experience. You can always take it further, of course. How do you feel, Brantley, about this?
I feel like I know the least about what I'm getting into at this point.
Good.
I thought I knew. Now I feel like I have no idea.
Good. All right. I like that. So I think this kind of incorporates...
I would add maybe, should there be a component... And we could discuss it on the show, but like, you know, if you did something not listed here, but you can you argue for some points? You know, like, oh, hey, I ended up taking this route, but I think it represents, that should be a 2-pointer.
Okay, a 2-pointer? I was going to say, would you be okay with a 2-pointer? Like, we could have an extra credit to be decided?
Yeah.
We could debate it.
No, it should be a 5-pointer if you're going to debate for it.
No.
Oh, there might be both versions, depending on how much.
Okay, all right. Debate for the points,
yeah,
too.
All right. We got to come up with a punishment, though, if you fail. So if you don't get, you know, more than, like, 5 points or something total. Like, there has to be, like, a threshold and then a punishment. But this is the part I'm not
going. Yeah, I think, like, if you can't get to a system that you're using for something, right? Like, okay, maybe desktop didn't work, but you at least got it serving something. You know, you got, I don't know, Jellyfish. Some sort of thing that you would use Linux for, but it's running on FreeBSD. Or you set up ZFS or, you know, whatever. Or you got, like, a desktop going that was, you could run stuff and play. If you don't get at least one of those, it seems like you didn't actually try it.
Yeah.
So a wall of shame, basically, is what you're looking to put together. Is that?
I don't know.
You got to run Windows for a week?
Oh.
But that's so much work.
You know, you
gotta
that's go why it's a punishment.
You got to go get Windows.
You just have to install Windows. Is punishment enough?
Or you got to use, like, Office or something for a week, like Office 365. I know there's probably some people listening that already have to do that, though.
You can't use dark mode.
I don't use dark mode as much anymore, though, so it wouldn't be as big of a...
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, had you not said that.
That's true. I could have just rolled with it. That's true. No, we need a good punishment. You know.
You have to set your system font to Comic Sans for a week.
That's not bad. What do you think of that, Wes?
Yeah, okay.
So if you fail the challenge...
But it's got to be like a system-wide thing.
Yeah, system-wide.
So if you fail the challenge, so if you fail to stack more than 5 points, you got to set your whole system to Comic Sans. So once you engage in the challenge, you need at least 5 or more points, or you're going Comic Sans for a week.
Mm-hmm. I could see PJ loving this one.
I think I could do. Let's see if we got some consensus in the Mumble Room. Mumble Room, I'm coming up there.
To be clear, your daily driver must be Comic Sans.
Yeah. How do we feel about these rules and challenges? Anybody have any suggestions? Everybody okay with this? This is your last. Basically, speak now, or you're roped in.
This is easy. I can get this done tonight, guys.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
I think anything with the Linux user land is straight up cheating. I love the ideas of them, but that's not BSD.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You can play around with the Linux compatibility to see if it works, but you can't solve. You're trying to get it to work on BSD by using that. Yeah, I agree.
And punishment wise, if you bail, you have to install Windows on bare metal and get your Linux environment running in WSL2.
Jeez, you guys are rough.
I second that. Right on.
All right. Windows on bare metal. Jeez, that's what I get for going up there and asking them. All right, so there we go. So if you fail, you got to go get yourself a Windows ISO from Microsoft, which is kind of a pita, but doable. And you got to put it on bare metal. You don't got to activate it. You don't got to pay for it.
But you do have to switch it to Comic Sans.
And you have to switch to Comic Sans. Should we add that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and you have to... All right, and you have to switch to Comic Sans.
Just to remind you of the paint.
And we're going to want to see a screenshot of the Windows Comic Sans
desktop. I would like to see a screenshot. You're right. Thank you, Wes. Good catch. Okay, so if this is all viable, what we would like is for you to, you know, over the next week, get FreeBSD going on a system, and then join the Mumble Room or boost in with your progress and let us know how it's going for you. Because next week is essentially our chance to do a check-in, do any course correction, or kind of make early predictions if somebody's going to bail, which seems totally possible.
Listener Jeff says, I'm just going to switch to Comic Sans right now.
Jeff, come on. All right, so there you go. That's all locked in, and good luck, everybody. Now, before we get out of here, we have a pick, and I don't know which one of you boys found this one, and I'll be honest, right now I'm going to tell you I have not tried this. But it's called DERMV VS Code. DERMV VS Code.
Do you have any guess?
DERMV VS Code. And it unclutters your .profile for, I'm a guess, VS Code, but I don't actually know. Did you find this one, I'm guessing, Brent?
No, I don't think it was me. It's definitely a Wes thing. Come on.
Oh, you found, okay.
I just saw it mentioned in some discussions I was reading.
Since when are you a VS Code guy? Are you a VS Code guy?
Well, I use it for closure things.
Since when am I a DRMV guy?
I use a lot of Vim and NeoVim too, but, you know, for like full-on interactive environment.
Okay.
I don't actually use this. I just, there's a lot of good DRMV.
Boy,
we are
selling this. Look at this strong pick for 600.
Well, it wasn't even in the doc. I didn't know you were.
Yeah. You found it. I thought you'd like it. So I just went with it.
A boost in your picks.
So this is sort of it's an overture to folks that, you know, you can use DRMV without, like, DRMV plus Nix in various ways, DevM, Nix shells, really nice, right? Because DRMV will handle just like automatically setting it up for you if you like that kind of thing. But DRMV is useful for all kinds of projects. So even if you don't want to mess with Nix at all, you can still use DRMV. And, you know, if you're using VS Code, here's a nice integration for that.
And you know what? More power to you if you're using VS Code, right? More power to you, I suppose. I don't know if we made this a pick yet, but since we're kind of just flying by the seat of our pants for episode 600, I'm going to give a shout out to an app that's only useful if you use Flatpaks. And so if you don't use Flatpak, you can just ignore me for a second, and I'll just make it real quick. It's called Warehouse.
I thought App Images were the official new package format of the show.
Yeah, good. It lets you manage your installed Flatpaks, roll back to unwanted updates, which has happened to me once before.
Oh, that is nice.
Pin runtimes and mask Flatpaks. You can filter data. You can check for updates. You can take snapshots of the app and user data. You can override the source, install from a remote source. Also responsive UI design. So there you go. It's called Warehouse.
That's basically like a standalone Flatpak GUI, from what I'm guessing, with advanced features.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
That's
sweet. And you combine that with something like, what is it, FlatSeal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can manage the permissions.
Very nice.
It is really pretty slick. It is. So. Well, that brings us to the end of episode 600, boys.
We made it.
That went pretty quick. Look at that mumble room. That is amazing. I wish I could screenshot that and make it the album art. That is really something pretty impressive. It's incredible the server is actually holding up. If you've been listening for a long time or you've just begun, we really appreciate you tuning in and catching the show. You are always welcome to join us. We generally do it live on Sundays. We've recently been doing a little bit earlier, but we always keep it up to date at jupiterbroadcasting.com/calendar, and we mark it pending in the podcasting 2.0 apps as well. So you can join that Matrix chat, you can join that Mumble Room, or you can just tune in at jblive.fm and just listen to anything that supports an Icecast stream. And it's pretty simple. And then, of course, the show releases Sunday evening our time. And take a look and see if the transcript's working for you. If it's not working, I don't need a ton of app messages. I don't know, maybe a GitHub issue? I don't know the right way to report it. We should have a system for that. We really should. But, you know, we would like to know if there's problems. But it's new. Take a look at the transcripts and let us know.
Maybe put it in the LUP feedback room, but don't tag anyone to start, and we'll check on it.
There is a Matrix LUP feedback room that could work. You could also boost in your feedback on it. And, of course, we want to hear how it's going with the BSD challenge. Good luck, everybody. This should be a fun one. And, of course, links to what we talked about today are over at linuxunplugged.com/600. And there you'll probably, what, do we really have? I guess we should probably link to Ghost BSD. I'll link to the Speed Challenges wiki page. That's kind of cool.
Also the BSD, what is it, the book, the manual, what do they call it?
Oh, yeah, we also right here in studio got the absolute free BSD book.
Classic by Michael W. Lucas.
Yep.
It is a brick.
It is. We'll be reading that this weekend, right? That's what we're doing.
I was thinking we'd use one of those new fancy AI tools to turn it into an audiobook.
There you go. You know what, boys? Actually, we got to get out of here because we have our own meetup and party to get to right here in the Pacific Northwest. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Linux Unplugged. We hope you'll tune in next week and the week after and the week after that. And we'll see you right back here next Tuesday, as in Sunday.